destination for good time oldies. Oldies 1330 WNIX Greenville. WNIX now brings you the hottest wrestling show around. It's Buddy Huggins and Mid-South Wrestling Memories. Brought to you by Budweiser, Tech Info, and Coke, and Garfield's. Now let's join Mid-South Wrestling Memories host, Buddy Huggins, on 1330 Nix.
Hey, Chuck, glad to be here today. We're going to get this show kicked off, and today we've got a very interesting guest for our very first show. Might as well say a history-breaking show. Our guest today is the one and the only, the living legend himself, Cowboy Bill Watts. Mr. Watts?
Doing good, how are you?
Fantastic.
If I could, I'd like to start off with letting people know that I'm very proud to have you today helping me with this radio talk show. You've been involved in it for a couple of months now, seeing that the development of this thing was going to get to where it is today. This is the initial show. You're tied to this area in so many ways that you and I have got something in common with the Junkyard Dog, and you remember having him with you in the Mid-South Territory.
Wrestling in Calgary, Canada, and we brought him down, and he was so inexperienced and so green, but just had that special something that you realize that a great athlete has. He was strong, he had a great attitude, he had a good work ethic, and he was just a joy to be around, and it's really been one of the blessings of my life to have got to work with him all those years.
Yes, sir. And he, I tell you, he impressed me as a person. I seen him before he became famous, probably the first year that he ever wrestled. You actually gave him the name Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, his real name was Sylvester Ritter. That wasn't too marketable, so we changed it to JYD, and there was a lot that went into his development, but he had a good attitude. Ernie Ladd was a big factor in that he pressed him so hard competition-wise that Ernie could really take somebody to the limit to find out what they were made of. And he's the one that really pushed JYD to the limit. They had phenomenal matches, and I think that's a part of it. It's not only who you are, it's who your opponent is.
Exactly right. The territory had been Leroy McGurk's territory, and you acquired it from Mr. Leroy McGurk. So actually, when you started wrestling, you were brought in with Leroy McGurk?
Well, I didn't actually start here. I started in Indianapolis. Wahoo McDaniels and Dale Lewis, who were two great pro wrestlers that went to Oklahoma University, got me started in Indianapolis, and Leroy had nothing to do with that. And I came home and worked some in the Christmas in the off season, and I worked some, and every time I came here in this area, it seemed like everything went very, very well. But really, I headlined the major areas. This area was kind of a backwater of wrestling. It hadn't had great talent, and so it was never an area considered to be a big money area. And so I always wrestled the big money areas. I wrestled in New York and Madison Square Garden, and before the largest crowd that had ever been in that venue in its history, when I wrestled Bruno Sammartino, and then back in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and all those big mega centers, that wrestling was really, really something quite different then. And so I didn't come back to be in this area until I came and bought into it in the promotion with Leroy McGurk. He needed some help. He was blind. He felt that things were getting away from him, so he asked me to come back here and be his partner, and I did. And that's when I really came back here more or less to stay and to start developing the company that he and I owned together. Also, at one time, Fritz Von Erich and Vern Gagne were involved as our partners, but that didn't last for all that time. And then I think about 1987, Leroy and I split also, and I went on my own, and then later took it, and then I later bought him out of everything that he had and took it to a new level, and really made it tremendously successful. But my theory by then was the package events, which I had been one of the pioneers of, where you had great big fantastic shows with a lot of main events. I think my earmark in it all really was my television, and that used to be Formula TV, where they always had a nobody against a big star, and it was kind of boring to me. It's boring to me to watch, it's boring to me to commentate, so I kind of went a different route. I tried to always put several matches in my television show that had the top stars against each other, and that became the most exciting television shows in the nation, and we had the greatest ratings per capita of any wrestling show in the United States that I was aware of.
Yes, sir. When I first started hearing your name mentioned, I go back as a fan all the way to like 1968, 1969. At that time, the promoter in Mississippi was Gil Cocken and George Cocken, and they were bringing in stars like Dr. X, The Spoiler.
I booked The Spoiler down here. They didn't have them. Actually, I just didn't realize what a fertile market Mississippi was, and Gil and George were getting their booking through Leroy, and then I started sending The Spoiler in, and I watched the reports on the gate and saw how it popped. And so we really realized there was some fertile ground, and George Culkin had called me, and he said, I'm telling you, Mississippi is so hungry for wrestling. So after seeing that response, I booked The Spoiler back in against a guy named Klondike Bill, and it just did phenomenal. So then I was the big star as far as this area is concerned, so I booked myself in there, and it sold out. It was just phenomenal. And there was an old building, and then I remember finally they went to the fairgrounds, and that seemed like a big venue then to us. But George had the faith that we'd go there, and sure enough, when we went into the fairgrounds, it just kept on going. So there were some big things. Actually, it was one of the big nights was when I was trying to get into Jackson, Mississippi, and it was a hurricane watch, and I had chartered a private, small, single-engine plane and flown right through the hurricane watch. And when I got to Jackson, the police were waiting, gave me a police escort to the building, and the fans were still waiting 2 hours late for the match, and I was wrestling The Spoiler there. And that was when we really realized that Jackson, Mississippi, and then, of course, after that, we were starting to go into Greenville, which had an old skating arena. And wrestling was just hot there. People just loved wrestling. And that's when we realized what a tremendous market it was. And from that point on, we really gave it the attention it deserved.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, I remember the skating ring. I remember Mr. Cayette. And I was there many a night. It seemed like to me that it got so popular with the TV and the wrestling that it was coming once a week, or was it once every 2 weeks?
Well, we used to go weekly. That was the old format. Finally, I changed that format because I realized if I was going to go with the big shows, we had to take it to a different level, and you couldn't accumulate the talent on a weekly basis. So that was one of the innovative changes we made and going from, but for years, wrestling had always been run weekly in these towns, and it was very successful. It was hard to build it to the big shows that you could afford to bring the top talent in by sticking to a weekly schedule. So I made the decision to start trying to go for the bigger shows and bringing in the bigger stars and the package shows. And it turned out to be very, very successful an idea.
Yes, sir. And by the time you developed it and the evolution got to it, I noticed that you were immensely successful with the Freebirds, Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, and Buddy Roberts. That just took it to a higher, newer level.
Yeah, we had several. It seemed like the first transition was a guy named Dutch Savage, and the next was a Spoiler with Gary Hart. And then Waldo Von Erich was very, very popular draw for us. And then certainly the Freebirds. The Freebirds were not an immediate success. Really, the person I really wanted out of that whole deal was Terry Gordy, but you had to have Michael Hayes to go with him. I didn't even really want Michael Hayes because Michael wanted to wrestle, and I never did think he was worth a darn as a wrestler. Finally, we realized we couldn't get Terry Gordy without him, and Gordy was the kid that was just so phenomenal. He was just a great athlete at a very young age, and that's who I really wanted. So in order to get him, I took Michael. Well, then you have to figure out something to do with him, and Michael was killing us trying to wrestle because he just wasn't as good a wrestler. So I finally put Buddy Roberts with him, and that's when the real Freebirds were really started to escalate and become the tremendous star power type team that there was, with Michael doing the managing, because Michael was a great talker. Everybody hated him. I you know, when I'd see a guy that my own hand would quiver because I wanted to slap his jaw, you knew if I didn't like him, nobody would. So that was a pretty good test, and Michael Hayes became that manager that everybody despised, and then with Terry Gordy was the big superstar, big guy, and Buddy Roberts was that flamboyant blonde that was small enough that to kind of even the team up for other people, where you had a mix in there that was really, really good.
I'll tell you, it made for some very interesting television, and the angles were as fresh as anything that was going in any territory at that time. And during that time, the territories were still very alive. I talked to a gentleman, he told me to tell you hi, Harley Race. He'll be our guest next week. And he said there for a while after, you might give me some information on exactly what he meant, but he did, for me to tell you hi, that you and he were married together for about 6 months.
Well, that was in Vern Gagne's area at that time, which was Minneapolis. And Harley was teamed with a phenomenal guy. I thought it was one of the most impressive teams I'd ever seen. That was really before I came back in and took over and started getting into promotion with McGurk Enterprises. That was just when I was wrestling as one of the top superstars in the nation. And Harley Race was teamed with a guy named Larry Hennig, whose son now is Kurt Hennig, who's a big star. And Harley was a brash young guy that was just tougher, you know, he was as tough as his mouth was, if anything's possible to be that tough, because he had quite a mouth. I mean, he was a tough son of a gun, and Larry Hennig was 325, was a phenomenal athlete. So they were one of the most devastating teams I'd ever seen to that time. And so, yeah, we wrestled each other an awful lot in that Minneapolis, Chicago, Winnipeg area. It was pretty exciting stuff.
And also, you went to Florida, and you learned from one of the best in Florida. It seems like to me that the time that you were on the road, that you took whatever territory you were in, and you used it when you finally got to Mid-South, and that's one of the reasons Mid-South was so successful, because while you were in Florida, you were taught by one of the best, weren't you?
Well, yeah. Actually, I'd already been here, and before I started Mid-South, was working, I owned part of McGurk Enterprises, but I got very stale and very burned out, and Leroy McGurk was a difficult partner. He was a good man in so many ways, but difficult because he had some real demons he was fighting personally. And so I left there, and I went into Georgia, and they had quite a thing going on in Georgia, and I was very successful there. And then Eddie Graham, who'd been watching my career and decided that he wanted me in Florida, started mentoring me, and he brought me from Georgia to Florida, and actually I already own now 10% of Georgia, and then I own 10% of Florida. So everywhere I was going, I was making deals that gave me part ownership, which also made it extremely lucrative. So I spent a year in Florida booking the Florida booking office, and in that year is what I considered where I got my, as I teasingly called it, my PhD in pro wrestling under Eddie Graham, because I thought Eddie Graham was probably the most progressive mind I had ever seen in wrestling at that time. He was just a special, phenomenal person, and that was at the apex of his life and his career, and I was lucky enough to be a part of that, and it was just literally awesome.
Well, I tell you, the era gone past will never duplicate. It'll never come back to what it was. People see what it is now, and I know you and I have talked about this, and a lot of it doesn't even need to be said, what direction that wrestling's gone now. It had such a history, and that's what this radio talk show is going to be about. It's going to be about the past. I'll be talking to people like Dory Funk Jr., Danny Hodge, Ernie Ladd. Ernie's busy with the President Transition Committee right now. He's in Washington, D.C., and he told me to tell you hi and give him a couple of months, and he'll be back.
Ernie Ladd is one of the greatest human beings that ever drew breath. Ernie and I were big rivals when we were both rookies at the same time in pro football, and then even when he got into pro wrestling, we were rivals, and I did not like Ernie Ladd one bit. And over the time and the years, see, that's one wonderful thing about competition. Sometimes somebody that you're jealous of or you're involved against, you learn to respect them, because you had to face him. And Ernie Ladd, I learned to respect him and to care for him. And Ernie Ladd's one of the greatest human beings I have ever met, and I'm proud and pleased to call him my brother, because we are both Christians, and Ernie and I really love the Lord, and we really love each other. But he has been a real blessing in my life.
Well, since you introduced me to him, I'm proud to say that he's become my friend, and he likes what I'm doing. He likes what you and I
are talking about. We're actually talking about the past. We're talking about good versus evil. We're talking about professional wrestling the way it's meant to be, and it should have always stayed that way. People lose contact with what show business is and how that works, but we ain't about that. We're about the past, and I really appreciate you giving me the time. And
again, I'm very proud of what I did in wrestling. I enjoyed it, and then I'm also very proud of what I'm doing now. I've been led to a different business endeavor that is really helping a lot of people. I'm actually able to help a lot more people. I guess my heart's changed to a servant's heart in all this, and I stumbled onto something 4 years ago where we're actually seeing people's lives be saved, and it's just phenomenal. It's a new product for our health. It's a whole new science, a whole new technology. They're changing the medical textbooks over it, and it's all about cell-to-cell communication and a new classification of a nutritional product called nutraceuticals. And it just was one of those things that I was led to totally by accident. I can't take any credit for it, but all I can say to you, it's really exciting. And George the Animal Steel is one of them who feels his life was saved by this product. And Danny Hodge is another one who has had tremendous results because he'd had a lot of pain. Danny had some real serious surgery and was in terrible pain. And his pain, a lot of it's gone away. So we've really been able to bless some people's lives. And that, to me, is really the most exciting thing, because when you go through it all, your time in pro sports, even though it's very gratifying, it's a short-lived time. And so you have to have something that's bigger than yourself that you're living for. And I'm able to do that now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to take a break, and I want to get right back with you. And I want to talk a little bit more about George the Animal Steel with you and about this fine, wonderful product that I have actually bought into, and I'm on the Bill Watts team. We're going to take a break, and I'll be right back with you, Bill.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
You stand like a sentry outside the grounds of our national pastime, offering us your salty nuts.
Nice and crunchy.
Half price on the outside, all the taste. That's your pitch.
Nuts for scratch.
There's nothing like spending a summer day on a hard bleacher seat, crunching your nuts. Unless maybe it's sitting behind home plate, spreading mustard on your wiener. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller, because thanks to you, a bag of peanuts costs just peanuts.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When it comes to internet providers, you can either choose the leader or a service that is second best. TechInfo was the first internet provider in the Delta. They were the first with 56K technology. They were also the first to institute the V90 standard. And now, TechInfo has web-based email service, which allows you to check your email from anywhere in the world. So why be with an internet provider that's always following? Call 1-800-863-5415 today and sign up with a proven leader, TechInfo.
Hello, I'm Joe Montana, the famous quarterback.
Hey, Joe, is it really you?
That's me, Joe Montana, in the flesh. Enter the Coca-Cola Craft Super Bowl 35 sweepstakes, and you could be enjoying an awesome Super Bowl party with me, Joe Montana.
Hey, Joe, can I get your autograph?
There you go, kiddo.
Awesome.
You could also win a Super Bowl ticket, a home entertainment system, or football gear like this football signed by me, Joe Montana.
Hey, Joe, throw me the ball.
Okay, go along. Oops, sorry.
Joe Montana was not available for the making of this radio commercial. The real Joe Montana was too busy preparing hors d'oeuvres, stocking up on ice-cold Coke, and signing football gear for the big pregame party on January 28th. For a chance to meet the real Joe, see your nearest participating Coca-Cola retailer for details. Entries must be received by 1-1701. No purchase necessary.
Do like me, Joe Montana, and enjoy the game with Coca-Cola.
Garfield's Restaurant Pub in the Greenville Mall, proud to be on the team of Mid-South Wrestling Memories. They have the best in food. They've got snackatizers and all the best food at price to what you can afford. And they're open late. Next time, have your birthday party or your dinner at Garfield's. You're in tune with Mid-South Wrestling Memories. And let's go back now to Buddy Huggins and Cowboy Bill Watts. Buddy?
Thank you, Chuck. I'm proud to say that Bill is helping me with this Mid-South Wrestling Memories show. And you couldn't ask for no better co-host than you right now, Bill.
Well, thank you. It's always enjoyable to talk. You know, I think one thing about it, wrestling fans are the most loyal fans in the world. And I'm constantly amazed by how they retain the memories.
Not only the older people, Bill, but I tell you who's looking back at what you did. I had a 14-year-old come up to me the other day, and he said, I heard your radio talk show over in Greenwood, and I seen your website, and he said, he started telling me angles that you had did before this gentleman was born, 14-year-old, and I said, well, now, how did you know that? How do you know so much about that era, and it hadn't been on television in so long? He said, well, I learned from the internet. So the internet is a powerful tool. And that leads me to how I actually met you, Bill. I heard the story about George Zalmo still being on death's bed and then miraculously recovering from Crohn's disease. And I had a friend that was dying of Crohn's disease that had sent to Alabama. And I made it my mission to try to find out a way to contact George Zalmo still. And I did. I found that, and within a short period of time, he called me back, and he told me the story and about how he met you, and the product that is going to change the way health is monitored.
Well, yeah, it's going to change people's health completely. It's impacting health in all areas, not just in Crohn's disease. The amazing thing is that this technological breakthrough that they're changing the medical textbooks on, and that it's a patented product in our laboratory. In Coppell, Texas, is the only laboratory in the state of Texas where a graduate student can get certified for a PhD in carbohydrate technology. All this is a fantastic part of this process. But George and I had known each other. We met each other 35 years ago on a football field playing pro football. And so George, when I knew he was sick, I didn't know how sick. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know anything about Crohn's. And when I called him, and George was really upset with me initially because he thought I was calling him to capitalize on his illness. And he'd been told he'd been fighting Crohn's disease for 6 years, and he had been told that he had less than 3 months to live. So he really was tough on me, but I just said, hey, you old grouch, I'm not trying to do anything except save your life. Here, I want you to take this stuff and see what it does for you. He said, Bill, I'll try it for 3 months, and if it doesn't work, don't talk to me again. Again, he hadn't told me that he did not expect to be here in 3 months. And that was over 3 years ago, and George is completely disease-free. But we've been able to help people with diabetes, with Crohn's disease, with cystic fibrosis, with cancer, it's just all the bowel disease. And when you understand what they found how our cells communicate chemically. This is the first thing they've ever found that addresses disease at the level that it's caused. Instead of putting a Band-Aid on a symptom, which pharmaceutical drugs do, we have something that goes back and addresses the actual operating system. And it's just phenomenal, and it's been phenomenal, and I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Well, I seen, when I did my research into it, and I seen how outstanding the company was. It just stands head and shoulders above anything else in network marketing that I had ever seen. And I knew if Cowboy Bill Watts was involved in it, that I had to do the research and look into it. So tell us a little bit about the marketing aspect of it, and what's so great about that is you can make yourself healthy and wealthy.
Well, that's true, and anybody can do it. You know, again, I wish I was the genius you said I am, buddy, because I had tried network marketing, too, several different times and really had not had the results out of it that I had hoped for different reasons. Oftentimes, the product failed, and I don't mean it's a bad product. I mean, maybe the product failed because they didn't have a patent on it, so then another company would get a hold of the product, and all the work you've done to build your network would be down the drain. So there was a lot of things that had happened before I was led to this by a friend of mine who had cancer of the vocal cords, and with 14 weeks on this product, that cancer was gone away. And the whole concept of this is, I'm not claiming our product does the healing. The body has to heal itself. That's not new science. That's the oldest science of all. God made our bodies so wonderful. But if we give them the right support, the body will heal itself. And so that's what it's going back to. It's just that they have figured, they understand now how to give the body that support. So the model they use is network marketing. Why? Because word of mouth and trust marketing. You know, if your friend has something that's working for them, one person's positive experience is more valuable than 10 experts with an opinion. So that's why, because they tried to market it at first through conventional marketing, but it would just sit on the shelf because there was nobody to explain to people how to use it or how it worked. And so this company selected network marketing, and by the way, in its fourth year, it did $100 million in sales. Its sixth year, it did over $180 million in sales. And in seven short years, it's done over $700 million in sales. But the great thing is, because it is network marketing, anybody can either come in and get involved just to buy their own products wholesale and be just a wholesale consumer, or they can get involved as a part-time person, or like myself, as a full-time person, because it's unlimited income. There's no ceiling. There's no glass ceiling. There's no ceiling based upon on gender, on race, on social status. It's all based on just what you do and how much that you share this story with other people and help them get well. So that's really a wonderful thing. It's a fantastic company, and it's, with the internet, the explosion of the internet, you can work it off the internet. There's so many ways to work it. So it's really been a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've seen the advantages in it, and I'm so fortunate to be under you as far as having you the leader, my mentor, in this endeavor. I'm going to use this radio talk show to talk about the past in wrestling, and also at the same time, I'll be feeding people information on Manatech and how successful the company can be, and people will be able to watch a living, walking model right here in Mississippi. They'll be able to see me. I'm going to be successful. Like you told me one time, you said you'd love to see someone just jump into this thing and just say, I'm going to be more successful than you. And with this company, the way that it is designed, I can actually do that, can I, Bill?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. So many people misunderstand how network marketing really works, but there's nothing that holds you back. It's the only business I've ever seen where you get 100% of your efforts, but that you can also make a percentage of everybody you help get involved in it. And this is a wonderful company. It's a company that has two things that I was missing in the companies that I tried. It has integrity, and it has character, and it has a heart for people. That's why they changed the name. When they first started out, they had one name, and a small bank in Kansas had the same name, so they had to change the name, and the co-founders and the scientists changed the name to Manatech, meaning bread from heaven, manna, a technical form of bread from heaven. But everything we have is from natural sources. It's from plant sources, just as God intended it. And it's just wonderful, and I can't say enough about it. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it. But, you know, if you have just one friend that calls you, and you were instrumental by helping introduce them to something that saved their life or gives them a better quality of life, are an extension of their life because they're healthier, what better thing can you have than that to be able to help your friend?
Well, it's actually a calling that I can see that you're quite suited for. We can do this thing here in Mississippi. We can educate people, and I couldn't do it without you, and I really appreciate it. What I'll be doing over the next month, y'all people listening, you stay tuned for these radio talk shows. We'll be talking to all the great legends from the past, and I'll be giving you information. My website, www.midsouthwrestling.com. Go there, and you can see all the technical information. You can see all the products. You can hear messages, personal messages from Bill Watts, other people that's involved in the program, George the Animal Steele. He'll be my guest in the weeks to come, and we'll keep in contact with you, Bill, let you know how this program's going. And as these wrestlers that I'm introducing, you're introducing me to, as they come on here, they're going to ask me, well, how's Bill doing? I tell them exactly what's going on with this, and the way that you're doing your life and your business now, it's about helping people. It's bigger than anything that had to do with pro wrestling. It's fantastic.
Certainly is, and I thank you, buddy, and I hope that everybody enjoys your program, and I know you have a love for it, and that's what it takes. I think wrestling is a labor of love, and certainly that's what my thing is in Manatech, because I'm able to help save so many people and to work with so many people, and it's really been a joy for me. But it's a great time every now and then to sit back and reminisce about the good times and some of the neat people that I met in pro wrestling, and there's not all of them that were neat. There's a few of them I still don't like. But, you know, as a whole, you got to let bygones be bygones and move on with your life, and that's what I've done, and thanks so much, because Mississippi was one of the favorite places. I got to spend an awful lot of time going up and down those roads in that delta. Matter of fact, I did my first solo flight in my airplane at Greenville's airport, and many times have I landed in Greenwood. So, I mean, I've been all over that area. It's really been something.
Well, Dan, the people here, they tell me every day, and they you know, they know you, they recognize your name, and we're going to make contact in the community with what I'm doing in wrestling. I'm doing wrestling the Bill Wright's way, the old school way, the way it's supposed to be done, and I wouldn't do it no other way. And I thank you for helping me and being a mentor to me.
And that's the end of part one. Stay tuned and look for the link for part two coming soon.